With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle Me Pete!
Wrestle Me Mark, we are back with Wrestle Me, the only podcast this week that's talking about WrestleMania 27.
And talking about it at obscene length. This is a new low for us because we have got to episode 4 of WrestleMania 24.
Yes.
We are on match number 4.
I don't mind it. This is like old school where we had a lot of talk about.
We can't
about,
do a podcast per match.
I like it. And it's not just padding. The last show was really long, if I remember rightly. I sometimes get my times a little. I sometimes think we've been recording for about 3 hours and we've been recording for 20 minutes.
One and two were both longer than number three. Number three is, I believe, the shortest so far.
Oh, good. Never mind. Okay, sorry.
At least it backs up your hypothesis that you haven't got a clue how long recordings last.
Exactly. How long was the last one?
I think it was about 40 minutes.
That's all right. So it's a proper length.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we've slipped everyone a giant length this week.
I know. We can't get through this WrestleMania.
I can't believe we
can't get through it.
So say it was a 45-45.
Yeah.
That's an hour and a half for two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so that's over 2 hours.
Yeah, I'd rather you were talking a little bit about the career of Mean Gene rather than Purple Aki's legal ins and outs. Yeah, I'm
he never
sure
went in and out. And that's why he is still on the streets.
Oh, well, let's crack on. Match number four.
Yes.
This is what we're all here for.
Yes.
CM Punk versus Randy Orton.
Randy. Why am I saying it like... That's Randy out of the Trailer Park Boys. Have you seen much of Trailer Park Boys?
Not since
there was
it was
character,
on.
There's a character, Mr. Leahy, mm-hmm. who I think does the best drunk acting in cinema. He's dead now. He died a couple of years ago. And it just makes me sad that somebody who could do just the best drunk acting. Uh-huh. And I'm sure the Trailer Park Boys at some point will have been involved in wrestling.
I was just trying to think whether they have been. Jackass used to do odds and ends.
Right,
and there
was
the great Steve-O versus Umaga.
Oh,
Umanga! little Steve Regal shout out there. By the way, we mentioned this, that Steve Regal always called Umaga Umanga.
Umanga, right.
And someone on Twitter contacted him. It was after the show had gone out. And they said, I'm saying they nicked it. Whether they did or not. I mean, we have the time codes to prove it. And you will be hearing from our lawyers. But they got
we can
onto
dig through 50 minutes of it.
William Legal?
That's fair. William Legal is a brilliant name.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Come on.
Because it's also, if it was in a register, it would be Legal Bill. And that, again,
yes.
is another extra joke. We should have been working for WCW in the 1990s.
Idiots.
Because, I mean, Captain Mike Rotundo versus William Legal. Please. So they contacted William Regal to say, why did you always say Umanga when you should have said Umaga?
Yeah.
And William Regal was just like, oh, I did that because I wanted to give it a bit of spin. I like people to concentrate and I like them to almost like tune back in. And so that was just my little spin that I would do on that. It's not true.
That's rewriting history. It's like when Chris Waddle says penalty. It's a penalty, Christopher. It's a penalty.
It took me years to work out how to say the word children. I'd say children. It
children,
was just a big thing. I couldn't say it.
I do it on my DMAX Discovery Channel voiceovers. I cannot say the word emergency in a voiceover.
Really?
I really have to concentrate on the jerk bit.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of the programs are about emergencies.
Yeah. I think about 90% of them are.
Everyone's having an emergency. The gold divers can't find their gold, and they are $250,000 in the hole.
Will the ice truck manage to get to the other petroleum station?
The outback opal hunters, they're trying to find cuttlefish opal, and they can't find a bloody seam of it. They're in all kinds of trouble. The Alaskans are trying to build a latrine on the homestead before the spring thaw and the floods come. Oh, emergencies left, right and centre.
I like the way he did the whole of that. And I thought, the word emergency's not come up at any point.
It's an emergency. Amazing. Yeah, it's an emergency.
Amazing. We are in this period, an era, where the wrestlers are beginning to be given lines. And they're right. running it more like an entertainment thing.
Mm.
As, for example, you find on D-Max. Excellent. And,
check out D-Play.
They are beginning to give people... rather than say, here's your general sort of skeleton of what you need to get across, here's the dates of, you know, when you're going to be there at the Omni, they right. are beginning to script it much more like TV.
Okay.
And so you can tell that's happening because you get points where Randy Orton is having to do these and he absolutely hates and cannot give a fuck about it. So he sits there. There's a little line in the intro video where he just goes, he says the line, CM Punk, if you think we are even, then you are even... more mistaken than... And it's just... you can see him think... Have I said that bit before? The word even twice. Word even twice. And,
did I say Stephen? You are Stephen.
Stephen Regal. And Punk stands out at this point because he's clearly doing his own thing. You know, I imagine... people always say about Punk, you know, there's a thing about... that's unspoken in WWE where they're just like, oh, God, he's just so annoying.
Yeah.
And he's annoying because he cares about his career and the product he puts out.
Yeah.
And you get the impression that with Punk, he's going up to the writers and saying, I don't want to do it like this, can I do it like this? And everyone's just going, oh, would you just do it? Yeah. Say even twice in a row in a promo and then have a little eye flick going, what? That'll be fine. Who cares? It's wrestling. I want to work on Will and Grace.
It's a telenovela.
Exactly.
Don't in a lot of telenovelas, they feed the lines in a hidden earpiece because they film so much in a day. It's like proper graft. Do that with wrestlers.
That is a special art, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That is a special art.
So they don't... I mean, I presume they get given a script, but they don't necessarily have to learn them. They just get fed their lines.
If you give an actor a script and say, you don't necessarily have to learn this, it will not be learned.
No, exactly.
Actors... here's the thing about actors, right? It's about time I fucking... I'm going to get this off my chest, right? Actors, none of them have any computer skills, right? If you ever deal with actors, it's the most frustrating thing in the world. I sent an actor a fucking thing in Word the other day.
Right.
And they got back to me. And they went, I've tried every program. I just do not know how to open this.
Gmail could open that.
You don't have fucking Word. You don't have Word, you know. And it's not like they were going, no, because I actually opted out and I only use Pages now. They were like, it cannot be opened.
It cannot be opened.
It can't be opened, fucking actors.
Do you know WinRAR?
Do you know what I had to do? I had to get them to dictate their invoice to me over the phone, and I wrote it down.
Type it. Isn't that legal? Isn't that William legally? Because they didn't write the invoice.
Look, I hope they go to prison for it. No, it's because they couldn't open the fucking template that I'd sent them. Actors, don't start me with actors. Jesus Christ!
Why are you invoicing actors?
Some of them do podcasts, and some of their podcasts do well. They get money, and I have to. I do you know what? I send them a template because I know actors can't do anything.
I'm just worried you might be starting an actors agency, and I want in.
Do you know what? An agency, if you were doing like music agency, a lot of paperwork. Actors agency, all the paperwork. All the paperwork. You have to hold them by the hand while they sign their fucking names. Not all actors. Punk is very much in his Pete Donaldson phase here, isn't he?
Oh, he looks like the CM Punk that I know.
Your hair is undercut, exactly like CM Punk's.
It is now,
right
just
now.
Heading towards... it's gone past Undercut Boulevard,
yep.
And we are right in the cul-de-sac of a ponytail time.
There's a nice little bit in this where, right at the end, Punk's hair has been mussed up a bit, and he has two little bits come up like an owl's tufts.
Cool.
Like that, and I was like, yes, I can see Pete wearing that and rocking that look.
Yeah, it's every year of WrestleMania, I'm fed another angle about Randy Orton, and it just seems it's like you say, he doesn't seem to carry them very well. He just doesn't seem to want to get in.
No, he's funny, isn't he? Because he's a third generation wrestler. You know, he comes from the family. He was pushed early. He's one of the youngest champions and everything. And you can't help but get the feeling with Randy Orton that he'd rather be somewhere else. And he does a perfectly good job.
He's a bit... is it Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy wants to just drive his ATV?
It's Jeff Hardy, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton have a similar sort of vibe of look, you know, it's all very nice. I'm pleased you've come out. They're not even like that. They're just like, I understand why you've come to see me. But if I did have a choice... choice, I'd probably be doing something else right now. It's just a really odd one. And this match is funny in that Punk and Randy Orton have got very similar body shapes. They're wearing very similar things.
Yeah.
And it just adds to this whole period with being a bit indistinct.
Mm.
So Punk is good, as usual. He's always really good. And you can see why he was beginning to think, well, I'm being pushed up to the main event now.
Yeah.
He would struggle to get there, and you know that would cause great frustration for him. And again, you see that thing of, if Randy Orton, who was a main eventer, had wanted to be in the main event next year, he could have done a tiny bit of work and they'd have put him in it.
Yeah.
CM Punk could have done everything in his power and they still really wouldn't have given him that break.
Yeah.
I think he does go on to face The Undertaker fairly soon, which is probably one of the biggest matches of his career. It might even be the next year.
Right.
So I may be, people may go, well, actually, he worked really hard on getting The Undertaker. I'm sorry that's not a big enough match for you. But look, I don't spoil it by seeing what's coming up. I live in the moment.
lot of injury chat this year. It's all about everyone's a bit injured. That's kind of the thing. Oh, yeah, his knees, his legs, his tits.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to look after.
There was a lot of talk actually before this. I found some old Bleacher Report sort of previews for this WrestleMania written before it happened.
Yeah.
Which is that interesting thing. We're reaching a point now where the internet, you know, you are
catching
finding
up. It looks like kind of modern journalism,
yeah,
because the pages, they were put into a CMS, content management system, that is recognisable today. So all of it's not like those old BBC pages from like 1999,
and
where it
looks
really old.
Someone looks and goes, well, they look old, so scrap them, get rid of them, and then they only live on
the same system that Bleacher Report, and that has existed for such a long time.
Yeah.
It looks like a modern digest.
It's sort of fascinating because you get so much more stuff building up to WrestleMania than you do afterwards.
Yeah.
Because all the hype is the thing that people are excited about.
Yeah.
You're getting your clicks and stuff through that. Now, with this stuff, you get a weird historical perspective on what people wanted out of this WrestleMania before it took place.
The speculation.
And that's the first time that's happened to us when we've been doing this.
Right.
So with this one, you've got the Bleacher Report, and they are like, at WrestleMania 27, the match that will steal the show, a match that will have everyone talking for months to come, will be CM Punk versus Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And it seemed that way. They were two huge stars. They were going to, you know, collide. And again, they're perfectly good, but it just doesn't take
ignite,
off. I find myself in this. I had to watch it twice because I did
phase out.
And they should have been much better than they were, but it's impossible to say why they weren't better than they were.
They were just fine. They were on the better side of fine. They were good. The finish was good. I think
nice finish where he jumps off and he catches him with the RKO. Yeah.
I find the pieces written in review the day after, like it was, you know, obviously then it was written the day after. I find that a lot of the reviews are way more complimentary because they're like, I may have got free tickets. I may have got very good seats. I may even have been flown in. You were flown into the one before this one, or maybe the one before that. And we, I always sort of think with that, football journalists are a little, you can be a bit more circumspect because they're, you know, they write for a whole range of people.
Yep.
But I imagine there isn't quite so much money in being a wrestling journalist, so that they probably have people who will be wined and dined with kings and queens, and they'll write a better piece than what they would usually write. Sometimes.
A lot of wrestling journalism, certainly at this point, you know, it's just, you know, you're a stringer. You're sitting at home, you're doing it. And the reality is, you don't want to slag off WWE because you like it.
And also, it's your paycheck.
You've stayed up and you've gone, you know, nobody wants to send a thing back going, do you know what, this is all right. You know, you have to be going, oh, exciting, you know, really thrilling. I mean, the show of shows, the pinnacle of entertainment, the epitome of pop culture, all of that sort of hyperbole. But it is funny going back on this, and nobody has talked about this match since it happened.
Yeah.
So they did the reviews the day after. The Wrestling Observer gives it, I think, you know, 3 stars or whatever. And they go, it's okay. And then literally there is no mention of it online after this point. The only thing that came up for me recently is that Randy Orton's trunks from this match are on eBay.
Right,
so
okay.
They are,
they're
starting at £1,300.
Okay.
Or it could be pounds, could be dollars.
It's a WrestleMania piece of history,
I
guess.
It is. It's okay. There's a photo of Randy Orton signing them, and he just looks disgusted at the whole thing. He's sitting at a sort of like
a Japanese vending machine.
It's a bit like that, because he's on a coach, and it's one with walnut veneers, a little kitchen next to him, and he's sitting on that little thing, and he's holding up his little
panties,
which he's written on the crotch, Randy Orton, the Viper, and the sort of It's covering the bit from the, what I would say, the bottom of the bell to the middle of the taint. And he's written Viper, Randy Orton, and there they are. Again, some wrestling clothing is fine to buy.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's robe, yes. A wrestler's ring jacket, yes.
Yes.
Wrestler's boots, might be stinky, but sort of yes. Anything basically that you can wear,
yes.
In if you were going even out, like
for a date,
exactly. I'm wearing Barry Windham's boots
with a woman you never want to see again.
I'm wearing Ric Flair's robe. She didn't comment on either of them. Amazing, she didn't comment on the robe, but. But I think you have to be able to legitimately be able to put them on yourself. If you're buying Randy Orton's panties, right?
What's that all about?
You've got a problem. You can't do it. You can't buy anything a diva has either. You cannot buy anything.
No, that goes into foot fetishes. That goes into all that business.
It's a wrist guard. My little wrist guard with the Susan G. Komen breast cancer research logo. No. Buy it, you're a pervert. If it's touched a diva, you cannot have it.
And also, when I was in Japan, there was a lot of blood-stained garbage match kind of, like big old blood everywhere. Like, you can't buy that. They were selling it, though.
I did briefly own a coil of barbed wire from a match between, I believe it was Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman.
Cool.
And it was clipped off by a bloke who'd been to Philadelphia, and he said at the end, can I have that barbed wire? And they were like, yeah, sure, knock yourself out. So he bought it, and he was getting rid of a wrestling collection. He sold a load of stuff, and this barbed wire was in there. And it came through customs, and they had opened the package. And they found the barbed wire and just found it inexplicable.
Yeah.
But they didn't know it was an absolutely priceless collectible.
Covered in DNA.
I did later sell that on eBay. I sold it separately. And it was not what you'd pay for some barbed wire.
No.
You know, it had a bit of provenance.
Yeah.
But the important thing is, it hadn't been near a female superstar's body.
Well, you have failed to understand eBay's policy on blood and bodily fluid transport. You're not allowed to sell that.
I sold it many years ago. I'd say probably at the peak of wrestling merchandise. It's very much died off now. It's quite funny because I had a look at Miz stuff. The reason is, I've
every time he says no, I
just Miz is so bland. It's so bland. Honestly, if you want to see blandness in action, type The Miz into eBay and see what must be, 15 years worth of exactly the same merchandise coming up. And none of it is over £8. Nothing to do with The Miz is over £8. Even the signatures, even his signed signatures for a WWE star who's never worked in the independents, so he's never done signings.
Right.
He's only a WWE star all this time. You can still pick up his signature on an official WWE thing for £12. Just, it's, oh, my. People will say, actually, Miz really did deserve, and he's done really good stuff and everything. And I'm already annoyed about this because I know we're not up to his match yet.
Right.
But I am so angry about the fact that people might think that saying Miz is good isn't a fucking acceptable opinion to have, right? He seems like a very nice guy, I'm sure. Yeah, no, you're never going to go out with him. Right? But I resent him, and I resent him so much for this WrestleMania. Okay.
Let's get back to it.
Yeah, let's get back to it. The Rock has a quick chat with Mean Gene.
Yeah.
And then meets John Cena's number one fan, Pee Wee Herman.
Yes, a man who also bought things on an industrial scale back in the day, and he got arrested for it.
Yes, didn't he get caught having a wanky?
He did get caught having a wanky in a pornographic cinema, which I never understood.
No.
I mean, it was gay men in Hollywood, gay men in
they're
in,
all in, over now, Pete, aren't they? They're everywhere.
Don't get me started.
Ayatollah Donaldson preaching again.
But like, they've always been treated very, very badly when they have been seen to express any level of sexuality
Their
thing. You know, that I'm looking at. We don't need to get to who's been caught up in it. But
dude, I went to Disney World. They got a fucking blowjob. Cool, bro. I was masturbating in a private homosexual cinema. You deserve to be
exactly
killed.
So, you know, it's that George Michael kind of thing. It's like, you know, he's cottaging. That's how things have to fucking be for certain sectors of society in the 90s/80s/70s. That's just the way. Grindr didn't exist. You made it illegal, so you brought it underground. You heightened the sexual excitement for people who are into it, so you just got to fucking live with a guy jerking off in a fucking bathroom stall. You got to live with a guy jerking off in a fucking cinema. I think people have what's his name? Paul Rubens. He's definitely a closeted a gay man, but he actually got arrested after this whole situation. The police raided his house for an unrelated matter, and he used to buy vintage kitsch pornography on an industrial scale.
Really?
Like, he used to buy so much of it as a collector. And his defence was, there was a couple of slightly moody, kind of like slightly under 18, of course, in the country there, under 18 rather than under 16 here. There's some moody stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, and the judge just sort of looked at it and went, look, he's bought fucking lorries of it. He's not going to be able to go pile through all that. You know what I mean? So his defence was scale.
This guy is not a sexual deviant because he is such a fucking sexual deviant. I'm actually a big fan of Pee Wee Herman.
Yes.
And I say that because I've more recently started watching some of his stuff. It was on Netflix. And when my baby was first born, I was like, I just need something that, you know, she can, you know.
The colours. And there's something for...
Exactly.
And there was so much innuendo, so
weirdly,
much, like,
she liked things like wrestling was great in the early days. She really liked Hulk Hogan, the colour of, you know, I think we must have been, you know, a year ago, he was probably coming out in something, or there were, you know, whatever it was.
Yellow and
she
red.
She loved the colours. That was it. A totally big fan of Hogan there. I had to explain to her, you know, he later let himself down. But we started watching Pee Wee's Funhouse, and I was amazed by how good it is. It's one of those things that if you were like me, you watched a lot of wrestling and you watched, you read a lot of American comics, there are all these references and adverts and things that you get to things like Pee Wee's Funhouse. And it never really sort of, I was always sort of like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And watching it, I was like, this is absolutely brilliant work. It really made me like Pee Wee Herman.
It was very adult and grown up, and it's just a lot of gay culture in there as well. It just had a lot of stuff in there.
It's funny, isn't it? When I first saw Pee Wee's Big Top in the 90s, it felt very sort of like dated as a film. I think it's by Tim Burton, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it felt very sort of like 50s America, and it seemed like he was a man out of time. And now I watch it and I go, this is absolutely like
subversive.
It's like 2013. You know, it's just, it's all sort of, I don't know, it's just bold and brilliant and sort of artistic, and everyone is, you know, essentially, I'm trying to think what it's like. Oh, it's just
like Tim and Eric.
It's exactly like that. That's exactly what it's like, yeah. That you watch it and you go, oh, actually, you know, all the things that we thought were really influential in the 90s, Pee Wee Herman had just seen the future, and it's basically like it is now. Same with visionary thing. He's good in this. He does a really good job. He does. They say, are you going to be on Team Bring It, or are you going to be on the Fruit Loop Troop? there was a thing about John Cena and cereal and Fruity Pebbles.
Pebbles, yeah. I think he took the Fruity Pebbles away. I think he finally got the big payday to CM Punk, the Fruity Pebbles. It was from Fred Flintstone, wasn't it? Fred Flintstone,
gotcha.
Fruity Pebbles, civil cereal. And I had never heard the Fruity Pebbles rock Cena thing, because it was never featured in WrestleMania.
It's like Pee Wee's Funhouse, isn't it? It's not something that we had over here. What did we have? We had fucking Morrison's Cocoa Flakes or whatever they'd be, you know? Just terrible. I saw an absolutely brilliant thing. It really made me laugh the other day. It was just on Twitter, and a bloke talking about how they'd run out of Frosties during the lockdown. So he'd got cornflakes and put sugar on them for his daughter.
Not the same?
Not the same at all. She was really complaining the whole time, and he was like, Jesus Christ, just they're exactly the same. It's cornflakes, sugar on, eat them. Anyway, she ate through the whole thing, really miserable. And only at the end did he realise that he hadn't put sugar on, he'd put self-raising flour. like that. Didn't tell her.
It expands in her tiny stomach.
Properly magic. Pee Wee Herman is out there doing his shtick, doing it professionally.
Yeah.
You know, not looking like wrestling is beneath him. He was caught masturbating in a porn cinema. And he says, Pee Wee calls Gene Okerlund a tool. Gene says, give me a break, which is a bit shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And then Pee Wee says, if you can smell what the pee is cooking. And I really, really enjoyed him. I'm
surprised he's not. Has he not turned up before in wrestling?
He has turned up before, I think. But I think before the big scandal. But
right.
It was nice to see him having a good time. Whenever I see Pee Wee Herman having a good time, I am happy.
Yeah. I think he's immensely talented. He actually had a couple of scripts for, again, I know a lot about the characters in this sorry WrestleMania 27, because the actual product was a bit naff this time around. But he had two scripts for a Pee Wee Funhouse kind of, you know, sequel or whatever. He approached Tim Burton again and asked Johnny Depp to play Pee Wee Herman. And I'm like, I'm in on that. That'd be fucking amazing. But Tim Burton said he'd have a look, and Johnny Depp said he'd have to think about it.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. It's funny, isn't it? Because you do look at people like Pee Wee Herman, and it's not like here where you go the Chuckle Brothers. There's not great hidden depths and great artistic merit to the Chuckle Brothers. They do a job and they do it fine, especially when they're Chuckle Hounds. Good costumes, I suppose.
There was there four Chuckle Hounds because they allowed the other brothers to join in. Because I presume that was.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think they did. Nobody talks about the Chuckle Hounds when one of the Chuckle Brothers
died. Great art. You don't sort of go, you know, you'd never approach. I mean, who's the greatest British director? I mean, you know, David Lean. Yeah, Ken Loach. Ken Loach's Chuckle Brothers. I would fuck you. I'd watch the shit out of that. Absolutely bleak.
Jimmy.
Two hounds talking about how they've been laid off from the what job do dogs do? Chasing postmen.
Yes.
Been laid off from chasing postmen again. It's never going to come back, John. Never going to come back.
We're going to never let, we're never going to make ends to meet to you. Crap. Absolute shit.
A triumph.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Yeah.
Better than the Chuckalands.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of
is
Fame.
Up next.
I know nearly everyone in this one.
Good, isn't it?
Including a really weird one. Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Why is Drew Carey here?
Drew Carey had a slight thing. He was in a Royal Rumble once. Where
was he?
They,
right? Okay.
I believe it was something to do with Kane then came out and attacked him. So,
right.
But credit to the crowd who boo him because they go, there's absolutely no way you should be here. I think he's a funny bloke, isn't he? I think he went a bit weird. I know we're doing a lot of Americana here.
Yes.
But I think he began having a strange life. He was originally a very lovable sort of cartoony comic.
Drew Carey Shaw, and I think he's been on Wheel of Fortune for a long time.
He has
he?
Now,
so,
yeah. I think
but
he
had a middle third.
Yeah.
He had a bridge moment.
Yeah. He seemed like he didn't seem like the cuddly sort of fun little person.
I was. I don't know any of the stories, but yeah.
Yeah,
okay, right.
I think he. I think he became a bit. Google it. Hall of Fame. Abdullah the Butcher. Yep.
Yeah.
Enjoy that ring, Pete.
Why do we?
Not going to be on that finger long.
Oh, does he
no.
sell it?
Yeah, Sonny. Oh. Enjoy that ring, Pete.
Enjoy
that ring along.
Does yep. she? She's still alive, isn't she, Sonny?
She
had trouble.
She did, yeah. Abdullah put his ring on eBay for 20 grand, but it's sort of hard to say whether it ever sold. No one's quite sure.
Right.
Sonny in 2016 would put hers on eBay for $3,000 starting price.
Probably one of the only rings. I mean, I imagine it would be smaller. It would probably fit my fingers.
Yeah, it probably would. And it's quite nice because they all have their names.
Wear Abdullah's the Butcher's as a belt, I think.
In 2017, though, Sonny said that she hadn't sold her Hall of Fame ring. She said it was a... she said, everything in this business and revolving around this business is a work. The whole ring thing was a publicity stunt thought of by me and Stephen Hirsch from the Vivid Entertainment Group just to get publicity for selling our movie. That was it. That's all it was. It was a publicity stunt. We got TMZ to do because that's the best way to get anything out there to the media. That's all it was. My ring is locked up in a safe in the next door room right now. So she didn't sell her Hall of Fame ring. She sold some other things that year. Her movie was Sunny Side Up, In Through the Back Door.
Cool.
Known as the original WWE diva, pro wrestling beauty Tammy Lynn Sitch gets her poontang pounded and takes it deep in the ring.
Poontang.
Why
is that worse than takes it deep in the ring? I ask you.
No, it's deep in the rear, Pete.
In the rear? Oh, in the ring. Yeah. I thought ring would make more sense.
Well, it would do. People have often talked about this Sunny tape being bad booking. Because what you don't do is you don't give everything away on the first match.
Right.
You can have a comeback.
Yeah.
But she decided that...
Better off. Everything's... Yeah.
Very much thrown all in one.
From what I've heard, the route for most pawnstrels, I'm going to call them, everything, like, you're nude, then yeah. sex. Nude, toys, sex.
It's a series of degrees, isn't
anal,
it?
Anal. And black people. Black men.
Really?
Apparently black men, you that's your... there's a weird fetish for black men. Massively couched in huge amounts of racism. No
yeah.
fucking doubt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's one of the most popular kind of threads
but
with MILF and mums and all that
that's,
shit.
That's the kind of thing.
I think, yeah, I think it's you
Christ.
Save yourself for... The black actor to work with you, which is fascinating.
Well, that's amazing.
I
isn't
so
it?
Many similarities in wrestling.
It does, yeah. I mean, it's weird. There are some other rings went up for sale as well, not in the same way.
Right, good.
2009 superstar Billy Graham, who was the Hall of Fame in 2007, he sold his on eBay.
Was he part of the? He was part of the Clash Axe.
Yeah, he's been a thorn in the WWE side. He's an erratic and unreliable man in a lot of ways, and he's been in and out. And he was. It's sad, you know. You get the Hall of Fame 2007, and then 2 years later, he was selling it. He said that he sold it to purchase anti-rejection medication for his liver transplant.
Right.
He then asked WWE officials if he could be removed from the Hall of Fame,
right?
Because he didn't like what they were doing. I mean, it's that thing about going, I need it to sell it for medical stuff. If you kept on the best side of the WWE, they might help you out like they'd done previously. But he just cannot stop burning those bridges.
He just sounds like a man who writes a lot of very late night emails.
Yeah, he does.
And
he does.
Another thing,
exactly. You know, here's the thing about you. Oh God. Yokozuna, who was put in the Hall of Fame in 2012, his son sold his ring at auction a year later.
Right.
That went for 12 grand. In dollars.
That was just the melting down fake. So much material.
And in 2015, Porn Stars on the History Channel featured Paul Bearer's Hall of Fame ring.
Okay.
He was given the Hall of Fame in 2014, which was a year after he died. Very fitting for the gimmick. but a friend of the family brought it into Porn Stars on History Channel, and they offered them $4,000.
Right.
The man declined the offer, and in 2016, a year later, it was sold on eBay for $22,000.
Well, it's a good. I guess Porn Stars as a business, as a TV show, is, I suppose, a good like shop window. If you are going to be selling something, you sort of go, I'm not going to take that $4,000.
Yeah, look,
I want that.
It's not. Look, I'm not going to spend $22,000 on a Hall of Fame ring. They are made of gold. I don't understand what gold's worth. I don't understand why it's worth anything, to be brutally frank. But you look at that, and I can't understand quite who is buying Paul Bearer's Hall of Fame ring for £22,000. Mm. It's just a strange thing. It doesn't seem like a great investment.
The Gronk is buying it.
The Gronk is buying it, and he's wearing them as toe rings on a beach.
Hey, baby, the Gronk is kiss my it. Hall of Fame
got,
toe.
The Gronk is buying it. He's just got a bowl of it, like sweets.
Sure,
got
them a bowl like of popcorn. man. I would love a genuine Hall of Fame ring as much as the next person. Specifically, I mean, I don't think we're going to get it for this show. but if any wrestlers want to sell it for, ideally, look, I can't pay, obviously, you know, $22,000.
Would you pay? You'd pay $2,000
no.
for it? No, you wouldn't.
No.
Okay.
I was thinking more £80. 80 to 120, but we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Do they do?
Wink, wink. I'm saying £100.
Would you do a riff of the Noel Edmonds open the box game? What is that called? What's in the box?
Deal or no deal.
Deal or no deal. But there's just a load of Money in the Bank suitcases.
Yeah.
One's got the ring in.
Great.
Some of them
wrestler's
may have
hands.
Yeah,
with the rings on.
Yes.
Man. I like merchandise and I like original things. I think they're great.
You might get someone's pants, though, and then you'd be called a pervert.
Yeah, or it might
Stacey
be a Divas
Keebler's arse.
Having a Divas Hall of Fame ring is just as bad as trying to buy their underwear. That's what I believe.
Stop trying to talk down the price.
But I do think those sort of, you know, those sort of modern things, if you like. I mean, Hall of Fame rings are just so big in the States, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's a Super Bowl thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a big thing.
Yeah, and all their varsity rings and things. They have a system
promise rings.
Yeah, a system of ring-based sort of experience that we lack in this country.
Yeah, I mean, you did buy me a beautiful... We're pin badge guys.
Exactly.
You bought me a beautiful
exactly.
pin badge last week.
Let's
get on.
So who else do we have there? We've got the Road Warriors,
yes.
Animal and Paul Ellering. They come out
they deserve
the Hall
it.
Of Fame. Animal, when Shawn Michaels comes out with Sexy Boy playing, he sticks his hand in his pocket. He is not going to entertain even slightly bopping along to this music. You can see him just go, fuck this. You get Drew Carey, who's booed. Bullet Bob Armstrong. A territory star who father of Road Dogg as well. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, huge cheer for Hacksaw. He is from the 80s, proper vintage. Everybody loves those bigger, you know, superstars, the larger-than-life guys. Very few of them left to go in, really. We would have had Bulldog this year. I know he's 90s, but he was around in the 80s.
Yeah.
It seems like he was from that classic era. But, it's they're running out of people who are alive to go in of that Hacksaw Jim Duggan stature. And it's always a shame. You see how the crowd reacts.
Hacksaw
reacting.
Jim Duggan.
Now, do you know what? He does cameo. And I think we should just say to him, look, I know you're not, you don't do these commercial ones, but can you just please come on to our WrestleMe thing to give us all a motivational speech?
For some reason, I'm almost convinced someone I know, and also someone I know did Million Dollar Man. But I've watched a lot of his cameos. Maybe I've just watched a load of Hacksaw Jim Duggan cameos.
Yeah. My wife and I often at the end of a long day will sit down, I'll put up the big screen, we'll get the projector out, and I watch the Million Dollar Man's cameos for people's birthdays all
have
over
I
the
not
world.
Bought one? Why haven't I bought it? Would have been affordable.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I mean, look, they're all at home now.
Exactly.
They are all at home.
Oh, Cameo is ramming these people down my bloody throat on email. If you've ever bought one before,
really?
I think I've bought 3 or 4 in my time. They love. I got Steve Guttenberg at a 200 before Christmas, I think I mentioned it. He was very accommodating.
Oh, that's nice. It is. I saw Bushwhacker Luke do a load the other day.
Nice.
As well. And every time I thought he was slightly losing it, he would get it back. He had a bit where he went, so get me on Cameo, and if you don't, I'll stick my foot up your ass. Good recovery. Great. Let's get on to one of the worst. Probably, I mean, it probably is is it the worst match? Until WrestleMania 36, I would have been very confident saying absolutely one of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time.
It's awful. It's awful.
I mean, this is 100%, not even an objective thing. This is the participants, the backstage people, and everybody agrees this is probably one of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time. No one expected it to be a classic.
No.
You know, going in. But Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler had this long-running feud over the commentary boxes. It's been going on for months and months and months. It was surprisingly hot because traditionally what happens in these sorts of things where you taunt and goad a wrestler, it's like a manager, like your Jim Cornette or your Bobby Heenan. Sooner or later, you end up in a weasel suit match against the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Your mouth kept on going and it got you into a load of trouble. And that's what should have happened with Michael Cole here. But we're in a period where people are just mad and nothing is sensible. So whereas the catharsis comes from Bobby Heenan being beaten up by the Ultimate Warrior, taking his punishment, and then we can all move on. This one they decide to book for 14 minutes and they decide to have loads and loads of twists and turns that aren't necessary with one person who's a 61-year-old man and the other who is like a 42-year-old non-wrestler. Mm. It was a disaster from start to finish. It's massively, massively overbooked and there's some great stuff that happened around it, which I absolutely love.
And it's 13 minutes long. Well, 14 minutes long.
It's incredibly
stupid.
They
could have donated
it's incredibly
so
stupid.
Much of that, especially when we get on to the women who do a match. Yeah. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's almost like it's some weird internal office joke where they are going to have Michael Cole in a 14-minute match that everyone's going to hate. But why would you do this? Why would you do this on your big night? That's the thing.
So we did a Luke and Pete show, Wrestle Me / Clash of the Titles run-in show where we reunited an ill-fated and probably ill-reviewed at the time Alex Zane Breakfast Show on XFM. Yeah. It was me, you and Alex Zane doing a little three-way podcast a few weeks ago. And it reminded me of the time we did a feature called Reet Pepeat.
Yes.
I don't know how it came about, but it probably had something to do with producer Raph, who's problematic. I rolled my R's for as long as I could.
Yeah.
Right? And people had to guess how long I could do it for. Of course, with very little digital editing, I can make turn into a 5-minute piece of audio.
Yeah. While you go off and have a cup of tea.
While I go off and have a cup of tea. Which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I pre-recorded me going, and artificially extended it for 5 fucking minutes. And we played that out on our show. We thought it was funny as hell. But thinking about it,
if you came in,
cooler heads should have prevailed.
If you turned in within 1 second of it starting,
yeah,
you had 5 minutes just.
Yeah,
didn't mean anything.
There was no commentary over the top of it. There was no radio ears like cast over it. So going, we need something else. It was just that. I'm proud of it.
Yeah,
I'm proud of every stupid office joke we ever did.
But it is that thing about when you do it, you sort of go, yeah, that sounds like something that is funny, but don't do it. Don't put people through it. And that's like this one. Now, Michael Cole is really good on the way down. He comes down commentating. He's doing his heel announcer thing and he shows a lot on the mic. You'd expect he would. That is his job. He's very, very good. He's a lot better than pretty much anyone else on the card. I mean, you've got Rock, obviously. Everyone's cheering everything Rock does. Michael Cole is good in this. The lines are a bit hackneyed because he's been fed them. He's also chewing gum, which I just
do not like.
I fucking drives me up. But I also have that thing about if you're a fucking announcer, you've got to look like you're nervous about doing a match.
Mm.
Coming out chewing, you go, me, me, me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm Billy Cole. You know, you're not Billy Cole. Tell you who are you are. You're Andrew Frightened. That's now he has a jumper on it that says Team Cole.
Yeah.
And again, I look at that and I think this is not something that's been made by like backstage because he always called his fans the coal miners. So it would have had something like Welcome to the Coal Mine or Head of the Coal Mine. And so this just looks like it's a fucking jumper from home that he's got that says Team Coal. So again, I sort of go lazy, not doing enough on this, not doing enough. Now, when he comes out of his jumper, he's got a funny body. Right? Now, it's funny because you picture him behind the commentary table as being quite weedy.
Yeah.
And he's not. He's not by a long shot. He's both doughy and in much better shape than you'd imagine. He's not fit.
No.
But you sort of go, that is...
He's the halfway point between... He's like in your trip to getting muscular and swole.
Yeah.
you're 3 months in.
Yeah.
You're pleased with the transformation because you remember what it was like before.
Totally.
But nobody's experienced either of it.
No.
So they're like, well, this yeah. is kind of in between stage.
Sort of, you've got, I can see the muscle structure, but then there's sort of other bits. I don't know. It just looks weird. And I always thought you were tiny. No.
Yes.
I'm a doughy boy. Oh, okay. Big doughy boy. Strange. Didn't think. He's also got tattoos, which I didn't really imagine Michael Cole would have.
Yeah, because he's always. Because he's always in a suit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a sort of professional.
And Instagram doesn't exist. All of you don't get to see wrestlers on the day off.
He had a tattoo on his shoulder of a dream catcher. Dream catcher. He had on his back, right on his back. So I saw one on his bicep, and he had a love heart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Quite sort of like, this is a motley collection of shit. But on his fucking back, it looked like he had a hairy baby. Yeah, like a baby's face, like his child or something. But it had lots of thick black hair. And I did look at that and I thought, oh, that's a shocker. But I couldn't quite pause it. And every time I did it, I could see the little thing at the top that said WWE HD. And I was like,
you got not HD enough.
I want to see that hairy little baby. Hairy little baby on a big doughy. Come on. Come on. Michael Cole has recently talked about this match on one of the Corey Graves. It's either a podcast or a TV show. I refuse to find out which, because if it was a podcast, I'll be furious. But he mentioned that before the match started, CM Punk knocked his teeth out. So hours before the match, he said, Phil, CM Punk, and Phil and I have known each other for years, good friends. He comes for some reason, and to this day, we don't know why. He comes running across the ring, and he delivered a knee lift that knocked my front tooth out. This is 4 hours before my WrestleMania match. My tooth goes flying, there's blood everywhere. Punk telling me, oh my God, I'll pay for the dental work, I'm so sorry. I don't know what got into me. I was just out here goofing around. I said, I'm not worried about the dental work. I'm about to lose the biggest payday of my career because you knocked my tooth out. Straight on, just walking into a ring and a man kneeing you. Oh, Jesus. So they go into this match and Lawler comes out. And Lawler, for years, has wanted a WrestleMania match. And he's pitched again and again and again. And they keep on saying, not this year. No, it doesn't quite work. And so he's finally got the thing that he wants, which is a WrestleMania match. Mm. And he comes out and he's so proud. He's wearing an outfit that he used to wear early in his career for big matches and things. Mm. And he comes out and he does... You know, he does as good a job as he can.
Yeah.
The match is not booked around Jerry Lawler, which is really annoying. It's booked around Michael Cole doing loads and loads of silly comedy bits. And you've got Jerry Lawler, a man with all this experience, and you're treating him weirdly like the non-wrestler.
Mm.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin is the guest referee. This is, I think, the third time he is a guest referee at WrestleMania. Interesting trivia. And Jack Swagger is seconding Michael Cole. Jack Swagger last year won the Money in the Bank. For a title shot. This year, he's seconding Michael Cole. You can see this period, they have such weird drops and dips and churn in when they're committed to talent. Really, really apparent in this. They would have sold this to Jack Swagger and said, look, Stone Cold's back. You'll take the Stone Cold thing. That'll give you the rub. But this is the match that everyone's going to be talking about.
Yeah.
It's all of us, Cole. They really want to see him get his... So this is good for you. And it's all bullshit. You know, you end up...
You would eat it, though, wouldn't you? You'd go, all right.
You're Brodus Clay for a non-wrestler. How about that? You know, cheers, man.
Cool.
This match then goes 14 minutes. The only good thing that happens in it is... Michael Cole loses another tooth during the match.
Does he? Yeah. Right.
Jerry Lawler came off the rope with a missile dropkick and he kicked me right in the mouth. What happens? My other tooth, next to the one that Punk had knocked out, goes flying across the ring. Now I've lost two teeth in the same day. Jerry throws a right hand. I don't even sell. He says, you've got to go down when I throw a punch. The next one he throws, he has his index knuckle out. It catches me under the eye. I drop like a brick. I get up. He says, I'm going to deliver a stunner. I say, how do I do a stunner? He says, just sit there. He jams his shoulder into my chin so bad. And I'm just laying there. So by the end of this, Michael Cole is beaten up worse than anyone else in any other match. Undertaker goes out on this funny, like, beer. They take him out at the end of his match. But Cole is sitting there on the ramp.
Legitimately damaged.
No teeth, loads of blood, still walking out harder than the Undertaker. Now, I really, really remember this match as being Jerry Lawler losing to Michael Cole.
Yeah.
And when Jerry Lawler gets the pin, the 1-2-3, and the crowd do cheer,
yeah,
I was like, fucking hell, that's... Okay, good.
Right,
at least
fine.
That's
thing
that isn't as bad as I remembered it being. And I was like, oh, great, I'm actually genuinely pleased. I'm really excited. You get the Jerry Lawler's music plays for about 10 seconds,
yeah,
and then Stone Cold's theme hits, which again is Jerry Lawler constantly sidelined in this, which is really, really weird. Booker T comes in. He's been doing guest commentary. My favourite line, he says, big dropkick right on the snout. I believe that's the one that loses Cole's to. But they do, Booker does a spinneroonie, takes a bit of the limelight. Stone Cold, of course, stuns him.
It's a good stunner.
We're not really doing wrestling
Everyone
anymore.
Everyone looks so bored, and there's one man clapping. At the point that Booker T starts doing his spinneroonie, I'm like, this is just some bizarro world nostalgia, kind of like people just sort of like went, right, last 10 years, grab,
and you're giving non-active, non-participating old stars more time at WrestleMania to get over, and then you're doing nothing with them.
Yeah.
Is it any wonder they found it difficult to make the future happen? You know, that you keep going back to these guys and going, put them in the big match.
Meg Steezer, still got Steve Austin's drank about 5 beers. Get him on an ATV, get him back out again, drink driving, go on.
Yeah, try and knock over Jack Swagger again, like you do on the way down. Will that make Swagger a big star? Because he's here tomorrow as well. Yeah, sure. Suddenly, there's bong, bong, and it's the anonymous general manager.
What is was this a thing that they did quite a lot, the anonymous Raw general manager? It's just
You are going to lap this up so bad, I can't wait to tell you.
Jim Ross, I'm not up on this email stuff. It's 2011, Jim. Don't lie.
Let me just tell you, the anonymous Raw general manager. The email goes off. For 13 months on Raw, the anonymous general manager had been sending emails that would change the course of things.
Right.
13 months. And after 13 months...
And it's like, right.
Yep, it would do it. After 13 months, it was phased out in favour of Triple H and John Laurinaitis, who took over. The identity of the anonymous Raw general manager was never revealed. They ran it for over a year.
And they never...
And at no point did they have an idea who it was going to be.
My God. They didn't even just go, it's Hornswoggle.
A year later, they bring it back.
Oh, do they, right?
2012. There, it was revealed that the anonymous general manager through its first run was Hornswoggle.
According
to former WWE writer Kevin Eck, they had no plans regarding an identity for the anonymous Raw general manager before it had fizzled out. Hornswoggle was suggested by a writer during a creative team meeting as a joke which played off the bad reception to the earlier storyline where Hornswoggle had been revealed to be Mr. McMahon's child. So Hornswoggle is now, they're going, oh, it's such a bad thing, oh, let's make it Hornswoggle, ah, right? Hornswoggle stated the original plan for his general manager character was a mob boss style character with a Napoleon complex throwing his power around,
right.
But these plans never came to fruition. So that they've run it twice, and both times they've just fucked it. The anonymous general manager ran again from 2014 to 15 and again just fizzled out. An article on WWE.com questioned its gender and mooted the possibility of it being Hornswoggle again. A year later, it just disappeared again. It's just sensational. For five years, they run it, and they start it, and they don't know the end, and they get out of it twice, and they keep bringing it back with the same result.
Oh,
it's the best thing in the world.
It's like a strobe again. Shall we use the strobe light? Yeah. Just inconsequential. Just a thing that's there.
When it started bonging, until I read that bit that explained how it kept coming back and disappearing again with no resolution. Until then, I just remembered it being annoying. But now, I think it's one of the best things that's ever been in wrestling. Put it in the Hall of Fame. That is the Hall of Fame ring I'd buy. The anonymous Raw General Manager's Hall of Fame ring.
It's the word general as well. Yes. Just, like, there's like... Like it's a licensed premises or something.
Yeah, general, he's
general manager. Is he the CEO now?
It's also in charge of a lot of the mundane stuff as well. Continually
photocopying.
Yeah, janitors. Sorry for CCing everyone in. I didn't mean this to bomb during WrestleMania. The problem is some of the toilets, they just haven't got... I'm worried that we're getting low on that. Oh, my God. This is the greatest character.
Just imagine it ringing out at this year's WrestleMania. The general manager letting everyone know the COVID-19 policy for hand washing in the kitchen, in the shared kitchen.
Oh my God! That is my favourite wrestling character of the 2010s. Nothing will beat it. As soon as you know its backstory, it all makes sense.
Oh God! What a way to end.
Fucking brilliant, yeah.
Oh, what a way to end it.
Yeah.
Booker T, Spinneroonie, and then the Raw General Manager.
Oh, it's just the best thing. And anyway, the Raw General Manager pipes up and it says, oh, actually, we're disqualifying Jerry Lawler because Stone Cold interfered. So, I mean, a pointless thing. Everyone was having a feel-good moment. It was over, and then they bring it back. And so Michael Cole wins. Jerry Lawler never, ever wins at a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
One last thing from Jerry Lawler. So he'd wanted to do one for so many years later, and the year after he would have a heart attack when he was doing commentary. So he'd been on a Raw, he'd taken part in a match, the next match was on, he was commentating with Michael Cole, and Michael Cole hears him snoring and he thinks it's a bit of a joke at first. He turns around and Lawler is face on the mic,
right,
and he's not moving. He'd had a massive heart attack, he basically was dead on air, and they luckily the ringside doctor was there. They gave him CPR, they shocked his heart 7 times, and he survived.
Jeez.
He had basically died, and had it not been for the fact that he was at work, had he been at home, he'd have been dead. Had he been on a plane, he'd have been dead.
Access, you know, he just, WrestleMania Access.
Yep, he'd have been dead. He just happens to be at the perfect point if something like that is going to happen.
They've got, yeah.
You know, that works. But the one thing it does is, the WWE said, well, you'll never, ever do anything physical in a ring again.
Right.
He does still occasionally do independent shows. I don't know whether he's doing much. I shouldn't think he is. He's a clever worker. He's a bright bloke. A problematic lover. And he just wanted that WrestleMania moment. Mm. And he has this worst match in WrestleMania history, which he fucking loses. I mean, it couldn't be any worse. A bloke on Reddit talked about meeting him when he was doing a signing. Mm. And he said to him, what is, for you, the greatest moment of your career?
Right.
He said, was it when you beat Andre the Giant? Was it when you unified the AWA and World Class Championships? He said, was it doing the commentary with JR for all these years? He said, or was it being on a WrestleMania? And Jerry Lawler said, without hesitation, it was being on WrestleMania.
Oh, well.
So I like the fact that, you know, it makes me sort of respect Lawler that he can do this match and he can still go, no, I took something out of it that's very special to me.
Yeah.
And I think, well, good on you, man. Good
well,
on you.
Well, his shtick is heel commentator anyway. So, you know, kind of bad guy, naughty guy. In your bed.
Yeah, in your bed. He does talk about this quite a lot in his book, I believe. It's Good to Be the King Sometimes, which is a really good wrestling autobiography. Mm. Apart from the chapters where he is just listing women he wishes he had sex with. It's even worse than the ones you have had sex with. Going through long lists of, I'd have loved to have had sex with this person. It doesn't get cruder than that.
No.
But it's just weird. It's just fucking strange. And anyway, so...
But sexy.
But he does talk about like his desire to do WrestleMania and stuff, and so it obviously means a lot to him. But it's otherwise quite a good book. Especially good on Memphis things.
Okay, then.
Yes. He also got paid more for this one match than he did for any other match in his career. And he revealed how much it was, which is he got paid for this match $130,000.
Holy moly, that's a worth the doing it. Oh. That's a worth the losing.
I love this new country bumpkin character we've got going.
Holy
here.
Moly.
Very good.
Incredible amount of money.
Yeah.
How much he could stank the players out.
Yeah, I know. Michael Cole, by the way, he gets back afterwards and he's really pleased it's all gone well. And Cole said, I got carried out there a bloody mess. As I go to the back, I walk to the back and I'm like, ma'am, I thought that went pretty good. I go to the back and I look at Vince and Vince looks at me and says, that is the worst thing I have ever witnessed in 60 years. He said, so that was my WrestleMania match, but the check cleared and I'm still undefeated. Do you know what? They come across so badly in that match. The stuff you hear afterwards, you just go, wow, if only there was some way of getting that across. Because I like them for having done the research.
Exactly.
Bong, bong, bong.
Oh, dear
bong.
Lord.
Oh, Pete.
What? What's
up? I've got an email from the general man. Oh, it turns out it's your country bumpkin character. Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark. Head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlemate, to find out how this sorry mess ends.
This was a Stakhanov production. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.